The title of his discourse is, Oh, Taste and See. Brother Todd.
Well, thank you, Brother Bob. Brethren, it's great to be with you today. I was greatly anticipating this convention, and I'd like to bring the love and greetings of your brethren in Columbus, Ohio. The title of our service today is, Oh, Taste and See. Please open your Bible to Psalm chapter 34. And we'd like to read verse 8. Psalm 34, verse 8. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Now, that's been a precious scripture to all of us throughout our whole life that's been devoted to our Heavenly Father. And in this scripture, I believe that David invites us to experience the goodness of God. He uses the physical sense of taste as a metaphor to describe the goodness of our experience with Jehovah. Now, the Apostle Paul uses the same metaphor of the physical sense of taste to describe the experience of the ransom sacrifice of Jesus. From Jesus's perspective, listen to what the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews 2, verse 9, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Now, on the authority of these two scriptures, I think we may reasonably conclude that the physical sense of taste points us to the spiritual sense of experience. Now, the spiritual sense of experience is the capstone to our five senses, our five spiritual senses. Now, we may learn about our spiritual senses by how they are identified in the Bible with metaphors. So let's take a moment to review how we can map our spiritual senses by looking at the metaphors that are used in the scriptures using our physical senses as metaphors. See, our sense of sight, means perception. It's being able to perceive the truth, while our hearing is our ability to understand the truth. And we see Jesus giving us these two maps from our physical sense to our spiritual sense for these first two senses in Mark chapter 4, verse 12. Listen to what Jesus says, that seeing ye may see and not perceive. Do you see that? Jesus mapped the spiritual sense of perception to our physical sense of sight. Let's continue. That seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear and not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven them. Now, God calls us in our spiritual senses. Do you remember when Jesus said, blessed are your eyes for they see and your ears for they hear? He was talking about perception and understanding of the word of God, of the truth. Now, let's remember that God calls us in our spiritual senses. Now, first we perceive the truth with our spiritual eyes. Then we understand the truth with our spiritual hearing of understanding. And then we discern that truth to be true with our spiritual sense of discernment with our nose. Blessed are your eyes for they see, and blessed are your ears for they understand. In this scripture in Matthew 26, verse 41, these words of Jesus drive home this point to us beautifully. Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Jesus was pointing out that we could be deceived if we open up our physical senses and allow unholy influences to attack us in our spiritual senses. We've talked about smelling, our sense of smell pointing to the spiritual sense of discernment. Do we think about a scripture that we can use for that proof? I think so. The Apostle Paul talks about this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 2. And this is what the Apostle Paul says. And walk in love as Christ hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. Wow. That's really neat. God's sense of smell points to his discernment of the efficacy of Jesus's ransom sacrifice. That takes us back to the sacrifices of the tabernacle and the bullock and the and also the Day of Atonement sacrifices. And so we see the first three spiritual senses are defined by perception with the physical sense of sight, understanding by our physical sense of hearing, and discernment with our spiritual or our physical sense of smelling that points to discernment. Now let's take a look at the next one. If you're following me, you know the next physical sense that I'm going to talk about is touch. And the scriptures tell us that this is a metaphor for the spiritual sense of our desire. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. Did you see that? The Apostle Paul says, reach out and lay hold on eternal life. Desire it with all of your care. Whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. So the Apostle Paul admonishes us to reach out and grab salvation with our spiritual sense of desire. And it reminds me of the scripture in Isaiah, I think it's 52 verse 11. The warning is, it says, touch not the unclean thing. And that means do not desire unclean things with your spiritual sense of desire. And the last sense that we're going to concentrate the rest of our services on is taste. And this is what David points out to us in Psalm chapter 34, verse 8. And taste points to the spiritual sense of experience and the transforming power of the power of the Holy Spirit. Let's take a look at this scripture again and read it in Psalm 34, verse 8. We'd like to ask you to turn back your Bibles to Psalm 34. If you have looked up other scriptures, let's read that verse again. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. So with this information, what can we learn from this scripture? Well, what I've learned is that we can taste five different tastes with our mouth. Did you ever think about how many different tastes you can taste with your mouth? And do you know the other sense that you need in order for the mouth to taste things? You guessed it. It's smelling. Our spiritual sense of discernment and our spiritual sense of experience are both necessary for our obedience and worship of God. That transforming power that the Apostle Paul talked about. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. And that's where our spiritual senses live, in our mind. Now let's take a look at the five different tastes, sensations. You know, taste is really a bundle of sensations in our tongue combined with our nose. And you know this, when you have a cold, when you have a physical cold, you can't really taste the food in all of its beauty that you eat. So these five different taste sensations are as follows: sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and savory. There are actually a science to this, and if you go eat food at restaurants, you will know that these tastes are infused into this food, sometimes chemically, but definitely by the assortment that's put before you when you eat. You have sweet, salty, sour, bitter, and savory. These are the only five sensations that your mouth can taste along with your nose. So let's see how the scriptures use these five basic tastes as metaphors of the varied experiences that we enjoy as part of the new creation. Now here's the big idea of the entire discourse. Are you ready? The Passover meal had all of these tastes in it. It had the bitter herbs, it had the savory lamb, it had the sweet juice, it had sour and bitter horseradish. And we need the big idea of our service today is that David and the scriptures tell us that we need all of these varied experiences in our worship of God. We need all of these five different taste experiences in our proper worship of God. And I think David was reflecting on some of these when he spoke these words in verse 8, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. You know, we know that the Lord is good, not only in our savory and sweet experiences, but if our Christian character is mature, we realize that God is good, even in our bitter, our sour, and our salty experiences. So we're going to take a deep dive into some of these things. So with that introduction, let's take a look at Psalm chapter 34 as a window into the spiritual sense of experience. So we've talked about the five spiritual senses: perception, understanding, discernment, desire, experience. Now we're going to take the spiritual sense of experience and divide it into the five tastes that humans can taste. We love Psalm 34. It has many famous standalone scriptures. It's majestic. It's powerful. And I think if we sit there and meditate on some of these words by David, we can realize that they are the culmination of so many rich experiences where he was living on the edge, right under the sanctifying power of God. And I believe that that is the challenge and the opportunity that's before us as new creatures that are being developed in the twilight hours of the gospel age. If we take a look at Psalm 34, we see a progression of resilience in the life of David. He had a progression of resilience in his experience with God. He was just a pup when God called him. And if this theory is true of these different taste experiences, then we should be able to find examples of all five taste experiences in David's reflection on his walk with God. We should find sweet experiences. We should find salty experiences, sour experiences, bitter experiences, and then savory experiences. So let's take a look at some of these verses in Psalm chapter 34. Verse 1. What taste do you think David was talking about when he said, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Well, I think that that is sweet. I think that was a sweet experience when David was saying this. He was probably reflecting on the moments in time when he felt that the Lord was with him. And he was saying, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Isn't that interesting that David opens chapter 34 with mouth? That's his experience. Let's take a look at verse 3. I think this describes a savory experience, a savory taste, a savory experience with God in David's walk with God. Verse 3, oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Isn't that beautiful? Isn't that powerful? It's a beautiful, savory experience. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. Now let's take a look at verse 4. I think this describes a sour experience. Verse 4, I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. Sometimes when we are overcome by fear, it's a sour experience in our life. And I think that was probably a case where David had fearful experience in his life, perhaps when he killed his first lion or bear as they were attacking his sheep. Perhaps he was afraid. But I think we see that David did it anyway, that fear can be overcome by courage. Fear doesn't have to be debilitating. That sour experience comes to us in fear can be overcome. Let's take a look at verse 15. And I think there's two tastes here. I think sweet and bitter. Verse 15, the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous. That's sweet. And the ears are open to their cry. That's bitter. when we cry before the Lord. Verse 18, I think this is sweet and bitter also. The Lord is nigh, that's sweet, unto them that are of a broken heart, that's bitter, and saveth, that's sweet, such as of a contrite spirit, that's bitter. In verse 8, I think David was giving us a summary conclusion and saying, hey, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. And what David was telling us down through the ages is that all of these experiences, all of these five taste experiences are required to maintain trust in God. I think the other thing he was telling us is that we can count on God to be with us in all of these taste experiences. It kind of reminds us of something that we love in the New Testament in Romans 8:28. And I used this scripture recently at work to describe this statement, to support this statement of mine. I said, whatever happens to me is good. I said that to somebody, whatever happens to me is good. And they said, well, explain that. And so I quoted Romans 8:28. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are the called according to his purpose. Brethren, I sit before you at the end of the gospel age. We are the called. And I'd like to share some of David's experiences with these taste experiences. I've tasted all of these experiences in my life, and the words of David have taken on new meaning to me in my consecrated walk. With that, let's turn to Psalm chapter 23. I have a higher appreciation of Psalm 23 with this context. And I think this is another list of life experiences in general terms that David gives us. How about this one? Verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Wow, that's a beautiful, savory experience that David had. And it reminds us of Psalm chapter 34, verse 9, where David said, oh, fear the Lord, ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. Isn't that beautiful how you can now connect the dots between the different tastes, the different experiences that David had? Verse 2, I think this is a sweet one. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside still waters. Wow, both of these are experiences, and both of these are sweet. A green pasture is a place where you can have bedding, where you can have food, and that sheep like to eat. They like to eat green grass. He leads us before still waters. Sheep will only eat from still waters. They will only drink from a still pond. They will not drink from a running brook. And I think that these are both sweet experiences. Do you feel like you've been led to green pastures? Do you feel like you've been led to still waters? If so, you've experienced the sweetness of God's love and care. Verse 3, I think this is savory. This is what David says in verse 3. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Wow, righteousness, that's experience. He restoreth my soul. That's an experience. That's your spiritual senses. He's developing David and David's spiritual senses. And David had a keen sense that he wanted to write this down for you, because it was a savory experience that he wanted you to enjoy. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Now, how about this one? I see three tastes in this verse 4. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, that's bitter. I will fear no evil. That's sour. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. That's savory. Isn't that fun? Verse 5. though, let me see. Though he prepares a table, he prepares a table before me of experiences in the presence of mine enemies. Now, what is that table? What is that table before us in the presence of our enemies? Well, I think it's the tools of sanctification. When we are before our enemies, God is giving us a test. He's saying, Todd, are you going to desire affirmation from these people that have the power to satisfy your material needs and your material wants? I'll prepare a table for you, Todd. I'll prepare a table for you. And it's going to require you to be sanctified under the power of my sanctifying hand. It's easy, Todd. I prepare the table for you before my enemies, before your enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, and my cup runneth over. Well, I think that's savory. So I think this table that God presents before our enemies is the opportunity to live under the sanctifying power of God. And of course, David had his head anointed with oil. So do we. And it runneth down. And he says, my cup runneth over with joy. Those are experiences. Those are the savory experiences we have in our life. Has God presented a table before you in front of your enemies? I think he has. Let's take a look at verse 6. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. That's sweet. That's savory. Now let's take a look at some lessons that we've learned from Psalm 23. We enjoy these different taste experiences only with our spiritual senses. We serve God in our spiritual senses. And I think that's what the convention theme hymn is talking about. Let's read that again. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Peter speaks to us as a mature apostle. And he's telling us, he's saying this, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. What was he telling us in this scripture? Well, we know that we're saved by faith. We know we're saved by the blood of Jesus. We know that we are not saved by works. But I think this is talking about how God calls us in our spiritual senses. And I think that's what Peter was talking about. He says, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. That means make sure that your physical senses are not providing a window into your spiritual senses that you would not be proud of. That's what Peter's talking about here. Remember the scripture in Hebrews? I can't remember where it is right now. Perhaps it's in, it's the one that says that Jesus was made perfect through suffering. Of course, we know that Jesus was a perfect human being. And the Apostle Paul wasn't talking about the perfection of his humanity. He was talking about the perfection of his new creature. And this is where Jesus was diligent in his spiritual senses to worship his heavenly Father. And this is the guidebook that David gives us in the book of Psalms. One of the lessons that we can learn from David's experience is that we enjoy our service to God when we reflect on all of our varied experiences, all of them. And there's only five major experiences: sweet, salty, sour, bitter, savory. And I think this was David's secret sauce. I think he had some secret sauce, and he's opening it up. He's telling us the recipe. In the book of Psalm, And I think he shows us by example that he was properly exercised through these five taste experiences, and he maintained a proper heart before God for the most part. Brethren, the variety of our experiences give us spiritual strength. You want to be spiritually stronger? Take a look at all of these experiences and realize that they are the gift of God. God is with us. God is with us in all of our varied experiences. God is with us. And we have the confidence to move forward in faith no matter what happens to us. No matter what happens, we have confidence to move forward in faith. Is there a big Goliath before us? Pick up five smooth stones. Use what's in your hand. Do the work of God. He is with us in all of our sour, bitter, and salty experiences. Now, we haven't talked about salty yet too much, but we're going to get there. Don't worry. Let's take a look at Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22. This is a scripture that we really love, coming from Solomon. And it says, "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it." Wow, how do we interpret that scripture? Because I get sorrowful. We have sorrowful experiences. Yet this scripture tells us the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And Todd, he adds no sorrow with it. Now, those rich feelings of blessing in my life come from my sweet and savory experiences. But if I had no hope and faith or trust in God's blessing, those bitter and sour experiences would be sorrowful. But because I have faith, and because I have hope, and because I trust the Lord's blessing, those bitter and sour experiences, those are the blessing of the Lord too. Instead of those bitter and sour experiences discouraging us, we might just use them as signposts on the road to the blessing of the Lord. Blessing of the Lord, this way. Marilyn and I, the other day, actually probably yesterday morning, we were talking about how wonderful it is to know God. What a wonderful gift it is to know God. What a wonderful gift. Can you imagine not knowing God in this world that we live in? Listen to what the Apostle Paul says to the Philippians in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. "That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death." Let that wash over you. Let that sink deep into your soul. To know God and the power of his resurrection. Now, this clarity of mind from the Apostle Paul can only be reached after going through difficult experiences. Remember, all five taste experiences are in the Passover meal. Sweet, sour, bitter, salty, savory. Brethren, we live in a different world than the world of mankind. We walk in the kingdom of God, and we taste the goodness of God. We taste the goodness of God, and we taste the power of the world to come. And we have spiritual food that the world doesn't know about. We are refreshed by the light of the Word of God and His Son, Jesus Christ. What a beautiful moment. Now, the Apostle Paul gives us a wonderful anchor scripture about the spiritual senses. I remember I was in a weeknight meeting in the Delaware Valley. Was it Delaware Valley? It was with Sister. It was a weeknight Wednesday night meeting. Sister Ruth Eldridge. And we talked about this scripture right here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 14. And if we take a look at this scripture, it's a window into the power of the ancient worthies. The Apostle Paul gives us this anchor scripture for our spiritual senses. He says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age. That's spiritual maturity. That's when your spiritual senses are all tuned to listening to the word of God. He says, but strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Wow, we have to use our spiritual senses. Our physical senses are the tools that we use to engage the world, but our spiritual senses, properly tuned, are the tools that God gives us to discern between good and evil. Our spiritual senses, properly tuned, are the tools God gives us to discern between good and evil. Our spiritual senses are the gateway to our human spirit. Now, trust in God requires faith. Trust in God requires faith. Trust in God requires faith and the practice of faith. Protect your faith, nurture your faith, share it with your faithful example. Now, your faith will be tested. And the Apostle Paul in this scripture tells us that a mature faith is a faith that has been tested. And after our testing, our faith brings us to full spiritual maturity. Let's consider a prophetic example of how God gives us a variety of experiences to develop our faith and enjoy our faith. Let's turn to Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. Songs of Solomon, chapter 4, verse 16. What a beautiful, poetic, majestic vista we're brought before with this scripture. It kind of gives us an overview of our whole life. It says, awake, O north wind, and come, thou south, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. Isn't that beautiful? You know, I think that the north wind, this is a scripture that talks about the church. I think the development of the church. This is a scripture that explains your life. You'll have north wind experiences. Those are the difficult ones. You'll have south wind experiences. Those are the warmer ones. But both of the winds are necessary to let the spices flow out. That's what the scripture says. And you know, when Jesus knocks on the door, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he asks us to open the door. And when we do, if any man will open the door, I will come in and sup with him and he with me. And this is what he's talking about. These spices that flow out of his garden are the spiritual fruit, the fruit of the spirit that are developed in our spiritual senses that we can enjoy as we become mature Christians. The north wind are the bitter, sour, and salty experiences. The south wind represents the sweet and savory experiences. Your spiritual senses are where the fruit of the spirit are manifested in your life. You ever think of that? Did you ever think that you lead with your spiritual senses? As you teach your family, as you lead with your spiritual children, as you teach your spiritual children, they are learning out of your spiritual senses. Perception, understanding, discernment, desire. Experience. What they see you do, what they hear you say is more important than the words that come out of your mouth. Now, we enjoy our faith because we're satisfied with whatever experience it brings us. And your true heart is revealed through your spiritual senses. And knowing this truth, that your spiritual senses are really the way you relate to other people, it helps you be a better mentor, a better friend, a better spiritual mother, a better spiritual father. And the major insight that we can get from this, as you mentor your spiritual children, help them to see the value in their varied experiences. Now, I have an open door policy at work, and every once in a while, people walk in, they close the door, and they sit down, and they say, I need to talk. And I had a moment with a 23-year-old male that came into my office and explained what was before him in his life. And it was a kind of a desert. I could see he was walking through a desert. And so this was the advice I gave him. I said, when you find yourself walking through the desert, dig for water. And when you find that water, give somebody else a drink. He left the office that day with an illustrated third volume in his hand. My friend, we relate to everybody through our spiritual senses. And they see the face of Jesus. They see the reflection of Jesus. They see the reflection of Jesus through our spiritual senses. Now, let's take a look at, we're going to shift gears here. We're going to look at some specific examples of how God provided these five different taste experiences to develop and test the faith of some of the ancient worthies, to bring them to maturity. Let's take a look at sweet. There's a scripture. You might remember this scripture, the waters of Marah, in Exodus chapter 15, verses 23 through 27. We will not read them right now, but basically the children of Israel were wandering through the desert or the wilderness of Shur, and they couldn't find water. I think it was 3 days. So they came to Marah, and the water was bitter. That's what Marah means, bitter. It was undrinkable. God, what did they do? Well, that was a bitter experience. And what did they do? They cried to God. They asked God for help. And what did God do? Well, he showed them a beautiful prophetic example of the power of the resurrection to resurrect the world of mankind during the kingdom. But in this case, it was a physical sense of taste. They were walking through the wilderness. They had a bitter experience with the water, and they cried to God, and God showed them how to turn the waters into sweetness. Now, the thing I like about this, besides the prophetic implications, is that it comes right after the Song of Moses in Exodus chapter 15, verses 1 through 21, a beautiful, beautiful song that basically recaps all of the blessings, the powerful blessings that the Jews enjoyed as they were led miraculously out of captivity from Egypt. They sang a song about it. And then God gives them this experience right after that song of walking through the desert for 3 days without water. And they come upon water, they find it's bitter, and God gives them a tree to throw in the water, and it makes the water sweet. Have you ever had this kind of experience in your own life? You feel the majestic power of God, and then he leads you on a journey. In this case, God gave them a physical experience to anchor their spiritual realization. They had the spiritual realization of the saving power of God. And then God gave them a physical experience to anchor that spiritual experience in their hearts. He gave them a metaphor, a living metaphor, after their experience of their miraculous salvation out of Egypt. I like it. As you can tell, I like it. Because God gives me metaphors sometimes after my experiences that he can use. He can anchor a family. He can anchor a family with a bitter experience, a sour experience, a salty experience, a sweet experience, and a savory experience. And if you want your family to grow up strong and healthy, then you have to guide them through all of those five taste experiences. And I think that's what God was doing with the Jews. David understood the sweetness of God's favor. I really like this speech that he gave to the Israelites that were listening. It was a speech, but basically he was talking to his son Solomon. And this is what he says in 1 Chronicles 28, verse 9. Listen to these beautiful words. "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." Wow. Do you see the spiritual senses here? Serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. He searcheth all hearts and understandeth all imaginations. If thou seek him in your spiritual senses, he will be found of thee. But if you forsake him in your spiritual senses, he will cast thee off forever. Now, David not only understood the sweetness of God's favor, he understood the bitter and the sour perils of turning away from God. And he is telling Solomon here to seek God with a perfect heart. He's saying, reach out and grab hold of God with your spiritual sense of desire, my dear Solomon. And David was trying to transfer his spiritual sense of desire for God to Solomon. Did it work? Well, I think it worked for 20 years at least. So we covered sweet. Let's take a look at salty. Have you ever had a salty experience? Has God ever presented a table before your enemies for you to enjoy? Let's take a look at what happened to David in 2 Samuel 16, verses 5 through 14. That's 2 Samuel 16, verses 5 through 14. You might remember this story. It's the story where Shimei verbally assaults David. Now, when you first read this story, you wonder, okay, this guy's dead meat. He's gone. He's history. Somebody's going to slit his throat. In fact, Abishai, one of David's mighty men, wanted to go across the river and kill him. But what does David do? He realizes that God set a table before him in front of his enemies. And this is David's response. He tells Abishai to let him alone. He says, let him alone. Abishai, let him alone. Do not kill that guy. Because David saw this as a message from God. Wow. What would it mean if the sting of the truth of somebody's accusations could actually penetrate that quarter inch of bone that you have in your head and go right to your spiritual senses? If you know, the sting of somebody's accusations is usually the truth of it. And I think that's what David is telling us, that this is a salty experience. He described the experience as from God and not from that man. Now, what could we learn when we see these same type of sanctifying moments in our life? Perhaps in these moments, like David, God is helping us focus on his strength and power and not on our own strength. Wow. You know, it's kind of interesting. I'm 62 years old right now, and especially in my career, I wanted to provision my family with things on my own strength. But God's taken me on an interesting spiritual journey, and he's saying, come on over here, Todd. I'm going to prepare a table for you. It's going to be a table of food. It's going to taste kind of salty. He's teaching me that I can't move forward on my own strength. Now, here's an example from Jesus of a salty experience. Are you ready? We can find it in Matthew chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. I really like this one. See if you can find the salt in it. And when the tempter came to him, he said, "If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread." But Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." What happened here? Well, Jesus submitted to the sanctifying power of the word of God. Jesus submitted to the sanctifying power of the word of God. Jesus did not let Satan put a thought in his mind. And this was part of the perfecting of Jesus, his new creature. Brethren, each thought that we have in our head is a seed. It's being entertained in our spiritual senses. And I really enjoy this scripture from Jesus, Matthew 17, verse 20. "And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible for you." Wow, the power of a thought. It can be just the smallest of grains, like the size of a mustard seed. And when we appreciate that thought and the power of the sanctifying power of God in our spiritual senses, it will grow. I think that's what Jesus was saying. Let's take a look at some of our sour experiences in which God developed the ancient worthies. We'll take a look at 2 Samuel chapter 12, verses 15 to 23. His first son with Bathsheba died, and he accepted it as a punishment of the Lord. He learned from the experience and he moved on. That's a 3-bullet point summary. David got through this experience in a week. It was a sour experience. And at the end of that sour experience, he moved on. How about another one? 2 Samuel 24, verses 10 through 25. This is the episode where David counted his men for battle and God punished him for it. He knew he did wrong right after he did it. What did he do wrong? Well, it was sizing up his power for battle, his fleshly power. What's the lesson for us? Well, when we are in battle, all we need is the Lord. But in this case, when David misstepped, he took God's punishment, and then right afterward, he built an altar. How about this one in Genesis 3, verses 1 through 6? What happened? Well, in summary, Eve was deceived and she planted the thought in Adam's mind. This is what verse 6 says. "And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat and gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat." Isn't it interesting that they have the taste sensation here, which is a metaphor of our spiritual sense of experience? It's pretty powerful, isn't it? Eve and Adam both learned that you cannot become wise by disobeying God's commandments. That's an important concept. We cannot become wise by disobeying God's commandments. Now, Satan captured Eve in her spiritual senses, her spiritual desire. She let him reason with her, and she was deceived. That should be a warning to us. Let's think about some bitter experiences that God used to develop the ancient worthies. How about the story of Absalom in David's life? Absalom's rebellion and death was surely a bitter experience for David. Consider these words in 2 Samuel 18, verse 33. And the king was much moved and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And as he went, thus he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would God I had died for thee, O Absalom, my son." That was a bitter experience for David. But what did he teach us? In Psalm 34, verse 8, he says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." I think at that point, when he was writing that message to us, he was realizing that the bitter experiences that he had were just assurances that the savory and sweet experiences were on the way, that God had not abandoned him. It prompted him to realize that the Lord was his shepherd and he did not have any needs outside of what God would provide. And that's the message for us at the end of the gospel age, that God will give us everything that we need. He will make us lie down in green pastures. He will bring us beside still waters. Though we walk in the valley of the shadow of death, we don't have to fear evil. God gives us a table before our enemies, where he allows us to opt into the sanctification that's before him. Now let's take a look at some savory experiences. How about 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 through 48? 1 Samuel 17, verses 45 through 48. Now, you might remember this story of Goliath. I'm going to read some of these scriptures. Verse 45, "Then said David to the Philistine, Thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Do you think David was afraid? I think so. But I think courage canceled out that fear that day. And David had the opportunity to have a savory experience and then share that savory experience with the army of Israel, with Saul, with Jonathan, make his brothers proud. But it was God's doing. Verse 46, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand." That's courage. "And I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give the carcass of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands." Now, this was early in David's life. I think he was still probably a teenager. And this experience of victory in the power of God, it surely framed his relationship with God. David honored God. David's courage came from God. David pointed the entire nation of Israel to God. Does it remind you of something? Does it remind you of Psalm 23, verse 5? God prepared a table before David in the presence of his enemies, and David had a savory experience with the power of God because courage overcame fear, because he knew that fear was just a gateway to the opportunity to apply the word of God. Now, in conclusion, I call this a spiritual senses checkup. Brethren, what tastes sweet to you? What experiences taste savory to you? What experiences are sour, bitter, or salty to you? I'd like you to ask yourself those questions. What tastes sweet? What tastes savory to you? What things are sour, bitter, and salty? Is being rich in this world's goods savory or sweet to you? Do you want to be rich in this world? Friends, if being rich in this world and the goods that it provides for us to enjoy in our physical senses, in our spiritual senses, if being rich in this world is savory or sweet to you, you need to refine your taste. And you need to yearn for those savory spiritual experiences. Listen to this verse in Psalm 34, verse 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. My friends, don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever we sow, we will reap. If we sow to the flesh, we will reap destruction. If we sow to the Spirit, we will reap everlasting life. Now, make sure that your spiritual senses are tuned to God's word. And make sure that they are tuned to seek righteousness. Have you thought of that? Jesus said, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness. Isn't that funny that he uses hunger and thirst? Don't you think that has something to do with our experiences? That we seek the experiences of righteousness that only God can give? Spend time in the Word of God, pray for understanding, and then let these realizations settle deep within your spiritual mind. And they will spark desire. It is a gift from God. That spark of desire is the gift from God. Let the Word of God nurture your faith. Protect your faith in the garden of your heart. Trust in God requires faith and the practice of your faith. Protect it. Nurture it. Share it by your faithful example. Now enjoy all of your taste experiences as blessings from God. When you have sweet experiences with God, bottle those up. Bottle those up in memories for the future. When you have sour experiences, let them focus your spiritual mind on the goodness of God. Are you in a prison? If you are, you're going through a sour experience. But let that prison focus your spiritual mind on the goodness of God. Are you having a salty experience? Is God preparing a table for you before your enemies? Are you going to eat from that table that God provides? Because if you do, you will be staying under the sanctifying power of God. If you're going through a bitter experience, humble yourself. You're not being punished. You're being taught. You're in the schoolhouse of Christ. If you're going through a bitter experience, humble yourself and learn those lessons. And look for the promise of a better future in the providence of God. Look for a better future in the promise of the providence of God. David and the ancient worthies, they did all the heavy lifting for us. All we have to do is read their stories. Are you having a savory experience in your walk with God? It's a time of rest. Rest in those green pastures. Drink those still waters that your shepherd provides. So I'd like to leave you with a warning. Guess what? The adversary seeks to capture your spiritual senses. And when you are going through bitter, salty, or sour experiences with the Lord, Satan will see you. And he will seek to give you sweet and savory experiences that take you off of your spiritual walk. This was the mistake of Eve. She allowed Satan to plant a spiritual thought in her mind. Jesus teaches us how to not do that. Did you notice that Jesus never asked Satan a question? That's a big idea. Satan will seek to give you sweet and savory experiences. And this is the taste of this is the test of Adam and Eve in the garden when God gave Adam and Eve the rule to not eat the fruit of the tree, that the adversary gave them a sweet apple to tempt them. Basically, Satan was saying, "Oh, taste and see that you will not surely die." Friends, brethren, if you've been deceived by the adversary, you have a spiritual cold. And your spiritual sense of discernment is not working. And if you have a spiritual cold, you will not be able to properly discern the experience that God is giving you in your life. You become what you turn your attention to. And if you don't let God captivate your attention, someone else will. So we look forward to the beautiful concept of God's kingdom on earth, where the church and Jesus Christ will rule the earth in righteousness, and a beautiful pastoral, titanic scripture that we find in Isaiah chapter 25, verse 6. And in this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make unto all people a feast of fat things, a feast of wine on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of wine on the lees well refined. Well, friends and brethren, this feast of fat things during the mediatorial reign of God's kingdom on earth is the plenty of savory experiences for the world of mankind to savor their new relationship with God. The wine on the lees is wine that still has the sediment of the grape skins and the yeast in it. Wine is doctrine in the scriptures, and that might represent bitter and sour experiences in the kingdom of God from the doctrines that are bitter. But it also says that another type of wine will be served. It says the wine on the lees well refined, and that is wine that has the dregs taken out. Those are the opportunities for the world of mankind to have that beautiful, savory experience where the bitterness is taken out of their experience and the doctrines of the kingdom are not bitter anymore. And then the fat things full of marrow, those are the tasty, savory experiences. Marrow is high in protein and it's high quality fuel imbued with tasty vitamins and minerals. And all of these taste experiences will lead the world of mankind to the sweet and savory experiences of the blessings poured out through the Holy Spirit. May God bless you and keep you and guard you. Amen.
Thank you very much, Brother Todd, for that lesson. Very far-reaching. Some good admonitions for what we might call advanced spiritual development in the narrow way. We appreciate your service. And brethren, our closing hymn, or Brother Todd's closing hymn for this morning, or whatever time zone you're in, is hymn number 111, My Redeemer Lives, after which we'll ask Brother Todd to close with prayer, and then I'll have an announcement.
Assurance he gives, he lives.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the power that's in your word. We thank you for the faithfulness of your people that have served you throughout the ages. We thank you for the opportunity to read their story in the scriptures. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit that you've given us. Help us to have strength to overcome the weaknesses of our flesh and to look to you for all things. We ask for a blessing upon all those brethren who are with us today. Please be with them in their sour and bitter experiences. Give them the table before their enemies and help them to get to those sweet and savory experiences that only you can give to their spiritual senses. We ask for these things in Jesus' name. Amen.